On Thursday, I was driving to meet another pastor, and we were meeting at the Ridgewood Coffee Shop, which isn't too far from here. So there I was, happily bouncing along, when I noticed something I didn't expect. As I got close, I entered this downtown-like area, full of churches and buildings and one-way streets, and also limited parking. And each parking space had the one thing I dreaded, a parking meter. And not even the kind that accepted credit cards. No, these were old school. These only accepted coins. Now, I consider myself to be a pretty resourceful guy, but I'll admit that since I moved out of New York City, out here to the land of Easy Pass, I'd given up on coins. I don't carry them. And so here I was, sitting in traffic, my mouth half open because I needed just one. Just one physical quarter, and I had nothing. Jesus, in our reading from Matthew today, does something I really, really love. Jesus gets physical. When the Herodians and Pharisees get together to question him, we need to realize that Jesus is doing something rather strange. The Herodians and Pharisees are on opposite sides politically. They're kind of like the Democrats and Republicans of their eras. We know little about the Herodians, but we assume that they supported the Roman Empire, who occupied Israel. The Pharisees were not fans of Roman rule. But they both felt so threatened by Jesus that they gathered together and asked Jesus a question. First, they flatter him. They show him signs of respect. And then they try to trick him, and they ask him a political question. Now, the picture that Matthew is painting is one where Jesus is actually in the temple. He is in the temple in Jerusalem, and there are crowds around him. The Herodians and Pharisees, they ask Jesus if it's okay to pay taxes to the emperor. They ask a question that is well chosen, because it's designed to get Jesus in trouble with someone, depending on his answer. So they ask Jesus, is it lawful? Is it religiously and morally and legally all right to pay taxes to the emperor? And Jesus responds by getting physical. He asks for a coin, and one is brought to him. Now, one way to read and hear scripture is to focus on the words, on what was said, on the order of things that happened. But another way to hear scripture is to notice the physical, the actual location, the scenery, the movements the characters make, and any physical elements that are asked for or taken or mentioned or explained. Because there's a physicalness to the faith life that can be easily overlooked when we focus only on the words, on the order of events, on the who said this and who said that. We can forget that faith isn't just a thought exercise. It isn't just about what we say or what we think. Faith isn't just located in our brain. There's a grounding to faith that goes through our entire body, from the tips of our toes to the top of our heads, a grounding that erupts into our whole body and soul. And so when Jesus asks for that coin, he changes the question. He takes this thought exercise proposed by the Herodians and the Pharisees, and he grounds it in the real everyday experience of everyone gathered around him by asking for the only kind of coin that a person could use to pay the Roman tax. So Jesus is in the temple, and he asks for this coin. And I imagine Jesus taking this coin into his hand. I imagine that he's holding it, and he's slowly flipping the coin through his fingers and around his hand. And I can see him tracing the images of the coin with his thumb and fingers. On one side is the image of the Roman emperor Tiberius. On the other is a symbol of a woman, a goddess. And she's seated with a spear in one hand and olive branches in the other. And she represents the pax, the peace that Rome had brought to the world, a peace through conquest and violence. And on the coin is words in Latin, words that the crowd weren't familiar with. They said, Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest. So here is Jesus, in the temple of God, holding a coin that declares the Roman emperor as a god. This is a coin that tells a story. It tells a story of Roman authority, experience, and military might. It defines the human experience and the heavenly experience through Roman terms. And this coin challenges Jesus. It challenges his Jewish brothers and sisters. It challenges their understanding and their experience of God. Jesus is standing in God's holy place with a coin denying him in his hand. And it's in this setting that Jesus speaks these words that I've heard over and over and over again. Give therefore to the emperor things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. To me, when we notice the physical in the story, we can take these last words of Jesus and discover in them something that is easy to overlook. Now, Jesus is doing many things here, and this is one of those sayings from Jesus that I think you could spend your whole entire life digging into, and you can never fully find all that it means. But today, I think Jesus is calling us to not compartmentalize our experience of God. By physically standing in God's temple and facing the physical coin, he's not declaring that this coin is separate from God. He's not saying that this coin that challenges God, is somehow out of God's reach. Jesus isn't saying that the emperor can be seen as separate from God. No, I believe that Jesus is reminding his audience, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the crowd, and even us. He's asking us, where do we stand? Where physically are we right now? If you strip away the walls, you strip away the pews, you strip away the ceiling, we're right where we've always been, planted firmly in God's creation. We are in God's physical universe. Empires, rulers, governments, and political powers, they'll come and go. But this place belongs to God. And we belong to God, too. All of us together here. And all of us individually, from our head to our toes, from our thoughts to our feelings, from our possessions to our identity, we all belong to God. That reality can't be subsumed by any coin, by any military power, by any human experience that tells us that God's story of mercy, love, and forgiveness are meaningless in our lives and meaningless in the world. Jesus' call, Jesus' challenge, is to not see the world in categories, to not divide God into just a portion of our life. No, Jesus' call is to take ourselves as a whole, all of us, our faults and our strengths, our struggles and our joys, our talents, our gifts, our budgets and our possessions, and even our doubts and fears, and see that all of this belongs to God. The call isn't to divide ourselves, but to take ourselves as who we are, knowing full well that we aren't perfect, but that we are here, right now, in this place and in this community, called to live our full lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. Our challenge isn't to run away from that call, but to run to it, knowing that we're not going to do this alone, knowing that we all have gifts and talents to share, that we all have gifts that we can give, that we, as the body of Christ in the world today, are called to be co-creators in the kingdom of God. We're called to bring mercy where there is hurt, to bring love where there is pain, to bring presence where there is only loneliness. We are called to be God's people in this world. We are called to, with God, change the world. Because God wasn't afraid to get physical. God wasn't afraid to live a human life. Jesus wasn't afraid to stand in that temple to hold that coin that denied him. And that denial will eventually lead his way to the cross. And the Spirit. The Spirit isn't afraid to fill each of us up, to make us part of God's story, to help make us part of God's gift to the world. We are all together part of God's currency. We're part of God's down payment on the kingdom of God that is to come. We are each, in our own way, God's coin. A coin filled of love, filled with mercy, and filled with forgiveness for a world that still needs it. Amen.